Well, the report covers more than 100 countries, and the area that I work on most closely are countries in the East Africa region. So reviewing the year 2018, we were able to see some clear patterns in the region. And these are a backward slide on a number of human rights issues. In several countries, we saw continued or increased restrictions on freedom of speech and assembly. This includes Tanzania and Uganda, and of course now in Sudan, we are seeing these types of restrictions play out in the context of large protests across the country. In South Sudan, we also saw such restrictions on speech, and most recently, of course, the example of a journalist who was told not to write about the protests in Sudan, among other topics. So other issues that we saw across the region include impunity for past crimes. For that, I can mention Kenya stands as an example where the elections-related violence, not only from 2018 and late 2017 and early 2018, but also stretching back many years, continues to have gone, you know, without justice, really unaddressed. And we can certainly see plenty of examples of impunity for past crimes influencing and feeding ongoing unrest in both Sudan and South Sudan. We also found in the region that there is a very, of course, growing number of displaced persons and refugees from ongoing conflicts and displacement patterns. So these are some of the issues that we highlight in the chapters on each country in this world report, which we launched today worldwide. The work on South Sudan forms part of this larger body of work on more than 100 countries.
In the context of South Sudan, you have just highlighted about the issue of the journalist who, of course, has been told not to report on what is happening in Sudan. Are there other instances?
Yes, over the course of 2018, we tracked closely the human rights situation in South Sudan. The first area of concern is related to conflicts, which are ongoing. Sometimes these are what we would call counterinsurgency offensives, which are violent and usually end up impacting civilians in various places in South Sudan. So in Wau, in and around Wau, for example, we visited earlier in the year and found that villages, structures had been burned and people had been displaced. And there are various abuses in connection with that counterinsurgency campaign by the government. We also saw ongoing patterns of sexual violence, particularly in and around the Bentiu area, when MSF reported a spike in the number of cases of rape that it was treating, and we were able to go and observe that situation and remark on how impunity continues to drive sexual violence as well. We are also seeing critics of the government, such as journalists, but also other activists being harassed and threatened, intimidated. So these are some of the issues, but we are very focused on accountability in South Sudan and continue to try to remind the leaders of the current government that they have agreed to the hybrid courts, and now need to make progress in bringing that to life. The African Union says it stands ready to implement this court, but we're really seeing no progress. Now, we are also aware of some efforts, such as the Terrain case, to provide accountability, but these are largely quite problematic and don't serve as they don't address so many of the issues that we still need to work on. So while some cases may provide a glimmer of hope, there's still so much work to be done, and a broader accountability mechanism is very much needed in South Sudan. So these are some of the issues that we saw in 2018 and that we continue to work on, and through the course of the last many years in South Sudan, of course, with the conflict both in late 2013 and then again in 2016, we saw quite a lot of abuses linked to the actual fighting.
You have launched the report. I would like to know, what is next? Are you going to share this report with the countries that have been highlighted?
Yes. So this world report comes out every week, every year. It is an annual report, and it serves to round up the work on various countries and gives press and observers and students and, you know, a whole range of people who may be interested, an overview of you know, the human rights concerns in any given country of interest. So it is a resource. In each of these countries, we have done a number of other individual, much more narrowly focused projects. And, of course, you know, the organization has researchers worldwide who are working hard on the issues that are described in the report and trying to engage with the relevant authorities and stakeholders to improve the situation. So the idea is that by memorializing this, by putting it out, by recording the situation year in and year out, we're helping to chip away at the problem and address it and get people to pay attention. So I think the answer to the question is a whole lot of things happen next, but it's more at the country level, I think, that you'll see specific advocacy and specific actions.
What criteria did you actually apply, or did you use to compile or to document this report?
Yeah, so every country has a research team, and those researchers will conduct field missions. They'll speak to victims of various abuses. They'll speak to people affected by conflict or who have been themselves displaced to displacement camps or refugee camps, a whole range of people, and we'll engage also with the government. So the specific projects in each country, of course, it depends on the context. But the basic methodology is speaking to people who are direct witnesses, and documenting cases and incidents based on firsthand testimonies and evidence.
How useful will this report be for the government of South Sudan as one of the countries that has been highlighted in that report?
Well, I think that the Human Rights Watch's annual world reports are resources. So if you want to know what happened in 2016 or 2017 or 2012 or 2018, you know, this will be a good historical reminder of the main events. But everything in the report, in the chapter on South Sudan, has already been produced in and put out publicly by us. It doesn't represent new research. In fact, it is a summary of research and work that we've been doing throughout the year. So we hope that the government finds it very useful to see the findings of our research. In WOW, for example, the military personnel, who I guess it was the military spokesman there in WOW, in a meeting with CTSAM not long after we released our work, said, yes, we acknowledge that there were problems in the counterinsurgency operations that we did, and we will investigate. So that, from my point of view, is extremely valuable. It shows that when we do credible reporting and bring issues to the government's attention, they can then be prompted to take action. Now our challenge is to follow up and see whether or not there has been an investigation, whether abuses have been addressed, whether soldiers are being instructed to carry out their operations in a way that is more consistent with human rights. So in that sense, you know, all of our reporting is meant to be kind of working toward this goal of improving the situation. And we hope that the governments would find that useful indeed.